Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. I see some heads nodding in recognition. This is a verse of a song from a band called The Police. It was written in the context of a lover's watchful eye upon his beloved. But they also apply to the technological tools that are being used to track terrorist activity around the world. For every move you make, every step you take, we'll be watching you. Now, knowing that our government is keeping a sharp eye on the terrorist group that want to harm us, be they foreign or homegrown, I suppose gives us some measure of comfort. If it keeps us safe, then we're for it. But we are also learning more and more about secretive agencies within our government that are keeping a watchful eye upon millions of Americans. You recognize the name Edward Snowden, who was an analyst with the National Security Agency. To some, Edward Snowden is a patriot, but to those within the NSA, he is a traitor. As you recall, he walked off with a laptop computer containing an enormous amount of information about top secret classified information about the surveillance programs of the NSA. We learned that there is a program called eScope that is capable of tracking and monitoring everything you do on the internet. The NSA tapped the phone of German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and not only that, but was listening in on the conversations of the leaders of 122 countries. The NSA has infiltrated links that connect Google and Yahoo to data centers. The NSA has an elite team of hackers that can enter any computer anywhere in the world and infect it with malware. Every day, the NSA monitors 200 million text messages. For those of you who text, how many times do you do that during the course of a day? If there are 200 million a day, there may be a chance that someone has been watching you. Jay Leno responded to the revelations when this news broke by saying, yesterday, the National Security Administration admitted that they use drones over the U.S. soil for domestic surveillance. The NSA Director Michael Rogers told Congress that the drones are used for surveillance of U.S. unspecified U.S. locations. But the good news is that the drones are made in America by Americans to spy on Americans. Now, I'm assuming that all of you have shopped at one time or another in one of the large retail stores. Did you know that those stores track all of your purchases and can compile a profile of the kind of shopper you are? I'll be in the office working on a sermon and a sidebar will appear from Cabela's. These are the fishing items that you have recently purchased. You may also be interested in these items that appear across the bottom of the screen. How nice and thoughtful of them, I say. Back in 2013, someone discovered something that the Target retail store was doing. They are able to identify pregnant women, and they do it by tracking their purchases. They are able to put together a profile using a telltale list of purchases by things that women early in pregnancy may use: vitamins, hand sanitizers, body lotions, and whatever else you women who have had children know all about. Well, a high school girl had received a packet of information about all of these baby products that are available at Target, and her father saw that, and he thought it was highly inappropriate. So he went to a Target store to complain to the manager, saying how wrong this was that young girls should receive such ads. But it appears that Target knew more about his daughter than he did. She was, in fact, pregnant. And after a long talk, he came back to the store and said to the manager, "Apparently there have been activities taking place in my home that I was not aware of. I am sorry. I owe you an apology." Several years ago, health officials in Ohio noticed that over a period of years, there was an extremely high incidence of death by leukemia in one sector of the county in which I grew up. In particular, almost all of those deaths were people who were formerly students at the River Valley High School. Now, my friend Vaughn, who has a nose for everything, happened to know somebody with the state of Ohio and wondered why that discovery was getting so little attention. And the official kind of shrugged his shoulders. He said, "Your guess is as good as mine." He said, "Go for it." And so Vaughn, being the inquisitive person he is, did. Now, everyone in Marion knew that the Army had a large ordnance facility during World War II that employed many civilian people from Marion County and beyond. And in looking at the death records from that period of time, we discovered that there were many of the civilian employees who had also died from leukemia. He found two surviving employees of the Army Ordnance Plant, and as he interviewed them, they talked about the rumors that were circulating around about what projects were being worked on. The rumor was that there were components being made that would go into a prototype of bomb that was going to be used in the war. Now, Vaughn is connected. He also happened to know a guy down the street who was in the Army for a number of years. He had received special clearance to work with nuclear materials. And he shared the story with him and asked, what could he do? The neighbor was in the process of overseeing the dismantling of a nuclear power facility on Lake Erie. So he said, "Sure, I'll be glad to help." So he went to the grounds of the high school and several sections of the ordnance plant, and he said that he detected, hot spots, places where there was not only radiation, but he detected other hazardous substances as well. But then he told Vaughn, "Don't be surprised if our sleuthing may be drawing some attention." In a conversation, he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Did you hear that faint click at the beginning of our conversation? Someone is listening to us right now." And when they were off the phone, he said that for years now, the military has had a voice recognition system that will listen into conversations and be able to identify certain code words. Like if I were to call Pat and say, "I have a dirty bomb and I'm going to drop it in the center of Fort Wayne," that would signal something. Who knew that such things were going on? Vaughn's office was in downtown Columbus. In his desk drawer, he had a very large packet of information that had been collected on his work, and one day he went to add more to it, and he pulled out the desk drawer, and it wasn't there. He knew it was in that. No one else in that office was in his desk. 2 days later, when he returned to work, the packet was sitting on his chair. There was no message tied to it. It didn't need to have one because it was a signal that you are being watched. And they wanted Vaughn to know it. Well, there is no ending of the story, really. They tore down the old high school, and they built another one a considerable distance from there, and no more stories appeared in the newspapers about the death rates, nor about the contamination of the grounds. Today, privacy isn't private. One way or another, we are being watched. And the hope we have is that we are also being watched by someone else, far greater. Someone who is not watching us with the sophistication of surveillance or doing it in secrecy or with suspicion. But rather, we are always being watched by the one who cares for us and loves us and provides for us and guides and protects us. Because you see, we are all under the gaze of God, regardless of where we are, where we are going, and what we do. Nothing escapes the attention of God. The prophet Jeremiah said these words, "O Lord, when I was being knit together in my mama's womb, you knew me, and you saw me develop." In Psalm 139, it says, "O Lord, you know everything. You know when I sit down, you know when I stand up. Before I take a step, you know where I'm headed. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know the word before it's on my tongue. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Nowhere, because you are always watching me, and there is nothing, nothing that is hid from you." In this exchange in the Gospel of John, Philip is wanting to do some God sleuthing. What's God up to? What's he going to be doing? What's going to happen next? And basically, Jesus is saying to him that spying on God is not necessary. What in the world are you looking for? Because you who have seen me for the last 3 years, you have seen me and you have seen the Father. I am in him, he is in me. So what is all this show me the Father business? Father is right here. I've shown you what God is doing. I've told you what God wants. Because there is that eye in the sky, God's watchful gaze, to show us what is good and what is right and what we as the church are supposed to be about in building the kingdom. And then he says, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will send you a present. The presence which we remember on Pentecost Sunday, the day when the Holy Spirit descended and the church was born. And Jesus said, I am going to send an advocate. An advocate is a helper. And the advocate will teach you and remind you of everything that I have done and said. As you know, about 3 years ago, Sue and I went for a wonderful vacation in Ireland. And we pulled from the rental car lot in fear and trepidation, because the first thing we had to negotiate was one of those roundabouts that had four or five lanes in it. And it was just a mystery. How do you get into this sucker? And so we got our way in, and we went around and around. Which way do we end? And horns were honking at us. And said, watch out, watch out. And we finally got out of it, and we were on the expressway. Of course, going the wrong way. which was disconcerting enough, but then it started to pour down rain, and I mean pour. You could not see very far in front of you. Now let me tell you something about the Irish highway systems. Around here, when you're driving, you'll see a sign, Fort Wayne exit, 2 miles. Exit, 1 mile. They don't know those things exist there. You get to an exit, and it's the exit. And there is a big sign, white sign with blue letters, that lists not the one destination, but maybe 4, 5, or 6 towns and villages in Gaelic and in English. And when you see the thing, you turn there. And so here comes one of those signs. And I just said, no, that's not the exit, but I discovered another thing about Irish expressways. They have curbs. And going at a high rate of speed, did I tell you it was raining cats and dogs? Going at a high rate of speed in our Volkswagen Golf, kawam! The left front tire hit the curb and we were toast. So I put on the raincoat. Did I tell you it's just raining cats and dogs? And I get out the jack, and I get the car up, and I'm having difficulty pulling the tire off. When I got out of the car, I said, oh, Lord, please help us. And as the situation looked more and more dire, I was about ready to scream when a car pulled out up behind us, and a guy with bright red hair, his name was Jack, got out, and I said, red hair, Ireland, remember, that's where we were, and he says, hello, my name's Jack, I was going the other way, and I saw you stranded there in the rain, so I thought I'd stop and lend you a hand, I'm a mechanic by trade, and I'd be glad to help you. And so he goes to work, pops the tire on and everything. And as we are talking, he said, well, what brings you out to Ireland? And I said, well, I'm a pastor, and in a week I'm going to be joining some other pastors for 3 weeks here in Ireland and Scotland. We're going to study Celtic Christianity. And he said, oh, you don't say. He said, my father, he was a Presbyterian pastor. And he's telling me all about the churches of Ireland. And then he starts to quote Irish poetry to me. It's like I am in an Irish literature class. And are you familiar there with Oscar Wilde? And I said, oh, I am. I memorized a lot of quotes. Oh, really? What ones do you know? And we were trading quotes back and forth. Did I tell you it was raining hard? And I said to him, if you can't say something nice about someone, and he finished it and said, then come over here and sit next to me. Someone was keeping an eye on us. Someone was watching after us. And it was not only Jack, who was on the other side of an expressway, who looked over and saw us and took an exit, took the time and trouble to come around and help us. But you see, it's not only Jack who was watching us. It was not only Jack who knew the need. God saw and God responded. You see, God has very good eyes. So good that in addition to managing all the things that God must do in the cosmos, God is not so focused on the big picture that he does not know the little things that happen in life. Even the sparrow that falls from the tree. And I can't think of a better way to end a sermon than from the chorus of an old song. I sing because I'm happy. Help me remember, is that I sing because I'm free? Because his eye is on the sparrow, and that eye in the sky, I know he watches me.